Start 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. envoy says Washington stands by NATO allies after they helped shoot down Russian drones that entered Polish airspace during an overnight attack on Ukraine. Prime Minister Donald Tusk.
This is the first time that Russian drones have been shot down over the territory of a NATO member country, which is why all allies are taking this situation very seriously. We have not recorded any casualties.
Russia's defense ministry just claiming it did not target Poland. President Trump's weighed in on yesterday's Israeli strike on Hamas political offices in Qatar. CBS's Jared Hill.
On social media, he said it was too late to stop the attack after the U.S. military notified him and that he directed his special envoy, Steve Witkoff, to inform leaders in Qatar immediately.
In Washington, D.C. Protesters outside Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab Restaurant, where President Trump took cabinet members to highlight his crackdown on crime. CBS News Brief, I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The weather couldn't have been more perfect for the downtown Grand Affair on Sunday. Temperatures were crisp as vendors and car owners set up for the day in Wisconsin Rapids. But by mid-morning, when the crowds started to arrive, temperatures rose under bright blue skies and puffy white clouds. The Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce partners with Creeper's Car Club to host an arts and crafts vendor fair and car show in early September. This year marked the 25th annual event. Stacy Keevy is president and CEO of the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. She said the turnout was fantastic.
It's amazing. There's so many people, I would say in the thousands of people.
Crowds filled West Grand Avenue as they perused the vendors from 4th Avenue South and up over the West Grand Bridge. Keevy said they hosted a record number of vendors this year from all over the state.
We have a ton of new vendors, and we have so many food vendors, too, which is great that we have this turnout.
Creeper's Car Club has partnered with the event for the past two decades.
We're working on 20-some years, I think.
That's club president Jay Richardson. He said the group started in the early 1950s with some high school boys. Richardson's been a member of the Creepers since their second iteration in 2000.
We started with three cars.
This year, they smashed their previous records with an astonishing number.
208 this year.
Wow. Yeah.
Classic cars spanned streets from the downtown theater across the Grand Avenue Bridge and next to the river where the farmers market sets up. Alderperson Jeff Penscover said the Downtown Grand Affair is a great event that brings people out to see what the community offers.
I'm telling you, Rapids is a place to live. I've been here all my life. People are coming to town. There's a lot of interest in the businesses that we have going here. Real estate's a bargain. This is where it's going on.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers in prime time. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last Sunday's game between the Packers and Lions drew 24 million viewers, the most watched week one game on CBS in 28 years. Tomorrow night, they host the Washington Commanders. Green Bay defensive end Micah Parsons has had some of his best games against Washington during his time with the Cowboys.
I don't know, just the strategy, coaching, understand who you're playing against. They're just an explosive team, starting with that quarterback, and it just means a lot more. You got to get to them.
The Packers could be without right tackle Zach Tom and left guard Aaron Banks, both dealing with injuries. There'll be game time decisions. And the team signing Christian Watson to a one-year extension worth over $13 million, even though he's still rehabbing a torn ACL. College football. The Badgers will play at Alabama for the first time ever this Saturday. Game time 11 a.m. Danny O'Neill likely to start at quarterback again. Women's volleyball. The Badgers beating the UWM Panthers last night. 3-0 in straight sets. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Just an outside chance of a stray shower today. Otherwise, partly sunny skies with highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-50s. On your Thursday, increasing sunshine with highs again in the mid-70s. It's 58 at our studios.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin travels to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, women don't need to vote as long as they have a husband, apparently. Andrew Watkins breaks down the church that says this and the politicians who are influenced by it. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back and good morning. It is 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday morning, September 10th. Parker Olson is producing this shindig down in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by as well. So is Earl Ingram. We'll be talking about issues in Milwaukee and his What's Going On podcast. We'll have a guest from Clean Wisconsin later this hour talking about data centers. They are sold as job creators. They are sold as the thing that's going to change the internet with artificial intelligence or AI. But they also suck up a lot of groundwater in a community. And so we'll talk about concerns regarding that. And then we'll wrap up the hour at 8:52 with a conversation with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, who's working his way to La Crosse, where he's making an appearance today after entering the race for Wisconsin governor. So before we get to all that, let's see, we've got in the mailbag here, we talked about all the many events going on around Wisconsin this weekend, and you need to get to an event. It's going to be a gorgeous weekend. There is no reason to be shut in this weekend. There's got to be some place to go. I listed several, but Tom in Hartford said, don't forget Road America Fall Vintage. Noted. We talked about this being the anniversary of the Swanson TV dinner. Jana in Waukesha says, I loved the turkey and gravy dinner in the 90s even. And Fresh Prince, which also had its anniversary today, is an institution as far as TV goes. And Michael put in a comment from earlier. We were talking about casseroles and how I finally made casserole with tater tots for the first time yesterday. And Michael saying, I use cheddar cheese and chopped celery. I'm sorry, cheddar cheese soup and chopped celery in my tater tot casserole. And I add crumbled bacon.
Oh,
look at this. Now, Brittany and Parker, they're intrigued by all this.
If you utter the words bacon, my ears perk up.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
And tater tot.
You lost me at celery. I do not like celery. I don't know what it is about it, but I just don't. But all that other bacon. I mean, come on. You had me a pick. We had a staff meeting. I don't know who it was, and I don't want to out this person. She seems like a perfectly fine person. It's not Brittany Merlot, but there is somebody at Civic Media who, in a staff call yesterday, said, I don't like the smell of bacon.
Yeah.
And you get these little emojis that you can put, like thumbs up or applauding hands. I don't know if we could see her through all the thumbs down emojis that people metaphorically want to put on there. People saying, what kind of a monster are you? You're not required to love bacon. We're just not sure what's the matter
to say
that you don't love bacon.
To say
that's
it's
all.
Bad is wild.
Yeah. So look, it takes all of us. That's not just a saying for the end zone, but for the kitchen as well. It takes all of us.
Can Brett Favre get behind bacon?
Brett Favre would call all this divisive, but anyway. All right. So there ends bacon and casserole chatter for today. Let's go to Brittany now with a quick update on the forecast. And, we haven't returned to summer yet, so don't look for it today, but it is definitely on the way.
and is around the corner. And if we could only have bacon raining from the sky, then people wouldn't be so mad, right?
Yes.
Oh, goodness. It's dreary. It's a little damp out there this morning. We have dense fog up north, a pretty big cloud sitting right on the ground for a lot of the Northwoods right now with a dense fog advisory in effect until 10 a.m. This goes from Ashland to Eau Claire into Hayward, Superior, even Eagle River can barely see this morning. And then we've got spotty showers working through the central parts of the state, from Madison to Wausau, moving in towards the Fox Valley. The only sunshine out there this morning is along Lake Michigan, and that's not going to stay. Temperatures right now, mid-50s to low 60s, and we are looking at scattered showers, light sprinkles continuing very isolated on and off through the eastern half of the state today. More sunshine will try to peek through those clouds farther to the west. And highs today will be in the upper 60s far north to low 70s far south. So still a cooler day today. Fog pushes back in again overnight. And then tomorrow we'll see more spots of sunshine, slightly warmer, low to mid 70s for highs, maybe an 80 degree far south. And then we're all going to start to flirt with 80 degrees for Friday. It'll be partly sunny, a little warmer, a little bit more muggy. Rain could roll in late Friday night into early Saturday morning, and then it leaves us in the summer weather. Humid, I will tell you that. Highs will be in the mid to low 80s both Saturday and Sunday. Places far south could be nearing 90 on Saturday, actually. So a warm one expected, and that holds. Those temperatures do hold as we move into next two, so it's not just a short little blast. Summer's here for a little bit, just a little bit.
What a nice little gift you've given us before you start your long weekend. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Leaving us in good hands. Mother Nature's good hands. Have a fun long weekend. We will talk to you next week.
That sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Brittany. And you can always get your local forecast updates throughout the day here on your favorite civic media stations. Let's jump right into Earl Ingram. I'm going to ask him about David Crawley, the county executive there running for governor. But before that, we've got to talk about the police union head down there in Milwaukee and this whole notion of, you know, whether to support the idea of Donald Trump putting troops on the streets of Milwaukee. Earl Ingram from the What's Going On podcast. Earl, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Pat?
I'm good. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk to you on these Wednesday mornings. And so let's start with your conversations about, you know, Milwaukee police union support for the idea of troops, which is not necessary. I get the impression this isn't like a pro-military thing. It's more of a, we need some kind of resources, we'll take whatever we can get kind of thing. And that doesn't sit well with everybody.
Well, what's happening in the city of Milwaukee and the issue with the police department is that they can't find enough people who want to become police officers. And so there's a shortage of over 200 officers in the city. And I don't have to tell you what kind of a problem that is if you're going to be 200 short in the largest city in the state of Wisconsin. And clearly it is needed. Police officers are needed. There clearly are things that go on in a city like Milwaukee that you need to have law enforcement. And the fact that we're short many officers is becoming a major problem. And, you know, on the one hand, I'm a guy who is not calling for the National Guard. The mayor doesn't want to see the National Guard, the Common Council. The governor doesn't want to see that. But on the other hand, when you're short so many officers, you sometimes, wonder.
Right. And that's what the mayor of Washington, D.C. said with the troops. And Trump was talking about all the arrests and crime going down. And she said, well, yeah, if you gave me 500 more police officers, I could get that as well. It's not, you know, this is not an apples and oranges comparison. It's really an indictment of support for our large cities in this time of, you know, constant austerity and hostility coming from Republicans who control the budget strings.
Well, you just kind of hit the ball out of the park. At the root of it is the fact that Republicans have been controlling what happens, and there are people who are at wit's end, and there are people who struggle economically in the wealthiest nation on earth. Everybody's not prospering. Even though the stock market is booming, there are people who are struggling every day to put food on the table. And I don't have to tell you that if the option is me not being able to survive, I'm going to do whatever it takes for me to survive. And you got people who are in that kind of situation.
Mm-hmm. Before we go on to the podcast topics, I did want to ask, the Milwaukee County Executive, David Crawley, will be on the show here just over 30 minutes from now, talking about his entry into the campaign for governor. Is it something that you expected, and what kind of a campaign might we expect from David Crawley?
I clearly expected it. I know the county executive well. I remember the first time he even entered into politics. And I used to always say he was my favorite elected official, even when he was at a fledgling elected official. So I don't put anything past the young man. He is certainly a very bright young man who's got a bright future in politics. You know, governor is a stretch. It, considering there's only one black governor in the United States, and there's only been four historically in this nation, it's, anything's possible.
Yeah. Yep. Talking to Earl Ingram, he has the What's Going On podcast, which you can get at civicmedia.us. And you've got a couple of new episodes here. We hinted at one last week and wanted to hear more from you about the whole notion of aging out of foster care. And the kind of thing that, that's been a thing, of course, as long as there's been foster care, but it continues to be a challenge for young people and for society overall.
As a treatment foster parent myself for the last 22 plus years, I am cognizant of what young people are faced with. And what I don't understand about our nation is children don't get to pick their parents. They don't get to pick their families. And as a society, I think the way we handle young people who, again, through no fault of their own, are born into the conditions and situations that they are, that we basically turn a blind eye to them. I think our nation does a disservice when it does that. And so, we want to bring attention to the fact that there are young people all over this nation who have had a tough go of it. And when we pull the plug on them and say, hey, you're on your own, it's time for you to test your wings, even knowing their backgrounds, I think we set them up to wind up doing some nefarious things. I'm not saying that that's the case, but you certainly make it a whole lot easier if survival is the first law of nature. We kind of leave people in bad situations.
Yeah. And then there's one more episode I know that's coming up here. It's entitled Forgetful Minds Need Support. And Diane Beckley-Milner is your guest about how Alzheimer's impacts not only the individual, but the whole family.
The Alzheimer's a situation, we went in depth with Alzheimer's. And what most people might not know is dementia. And all of those things come under the guise of dementia and many different issues and people are faced with. And we went deep into it because sometimes you go upstairs and you forget your keys and you go upstairs and there are times that I wonder, well, what did I come up here for? And so we wanted to make it clear that if you're forgetful on certain things, we shouldn't automatically think that you're headed towards dementia or Alzheimer's, but that we should, if you certain things that you see happening to you and your loved ones, you need to stay on top of it.
All right. You can learn all about this from the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. Head over to civicmedia.us and click on shows. All the episodes are there. Get subscribed to it wherever you listen to your podcast as well. Listen to it on demand. It's very good listening and great information that we're getting from Earl. Appreciate your time, Earl, as always. Thanks so much. Hope you have a good day.
You as well.
All right. Again, civicmedia.us is where you go to learn more about that. Now, coming up in our next half hour, we're going to be talking to a guest from Clean Wisconsin. There are data centers going up in Wisconsin. There are big data centers being proposed around Wisconsin. But at what cost? I mean, there was a recent network news report about how after a Meta data center was built in the state of Georgia, residents around there would turn on their water taps and nothing would come out. We'll talk about that and a live interview with Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley at 8:52, candidate for governor. All ahead, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you a parent of a 2 to 8 year old? Listen closely for an exciting offer, then head to abcmouse.com/radio to learn more. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
We're offering a promo at abcmouse.com/radio to try it for free for a month, then $14.99 per month until canceled. Go to abcmouse.com/radio to see this offer. That's abcmouse.com/radio. Actual ABC Mouse users compensated for their testimonials, sponsored by Age of Learning.
Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over 3 decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanopi, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
I got my brokerage license. I got my broker's license. That's okay. A personal license for me to be a broker. And I also transferred to Coldwell Bank of Seward here in Rapids. And then after 2.5 years with them, I established Rapids Homes because there's certain things that I wanted to do my way. And obviously, when you're contracted with a brokerage, you have to do things their way to a certain extent.
Yeah.
There's also other things which I wanted to do which I couldn't do as a contracted broker, but I could do it as a broker with my own firm. So that's what led me to establish Rapids Homes. It was September 2024, and we're coming up to the first anniversary.
That's so cool. And I appreciate that breakdown, David, for a number of reasons. One, it's just interesting and always cool to hear. I know I'm not alone in that. We love hearing people's arcs of their stories and how they get to where they are. It's also really noteworthy, I think, because so many of us can relate to this. We have this skill set. And we don't always know what industry it's going to work best in or where it'll fit well. And especially wherever you are, whether you're across the pond or here, you've got to always, it isn't always you're in the town with the perfect place for that skill set. So finding that is oftentimes a journey in itself. And then there are the things, you know, that you plan and then just life happens. So it sends you all these different paths. You mentioned Dean and somebody my father and my family has worked with before as well.
Right.
And when it comes to running into somebody like that, you know, the randomness of it sometimes. So maybe you don't run into him. Maybe you don't think about being in real estate and you're doing something else right now. The way these things happen, my skill set, there's no reason I should be here, David. Right. I didn't go to school for this. I'm an actor. I shouldn't be doing radio, but I happen to have a skill set that applies to radio very well. Radio welcomed me. I have a home for 20 some years. I mean, it's just weird how these things happen. Our stories are not, you know, random. These kind of things happen all the time. time. It's always cool to me, though, how it happens, and I appreciate the breakdown of it.
Right, and yeah, and actually, I met Dean in 2010, I think, because I was doing some professional portrait photography of his staff when he had his own. I think it was called Dean Ramsden Realty before he got the Remax franchise. So I'd known him for a number of years, and these connections. They always come back again. You know, whoever you meet what I found is that most people in Rapids tend to have three jobs. Mm. Now, I've cut mine down because I only have time to do real estate now. Mm-hmm. But there have been times when I've had three jobs. So, for example, when I was working as a columnist for The Voice, I was also doing the radio job, and I was also doing putting potatoes in boxes and McCain, mm-hmm. because you have to do something to bring in the amount of money you need.
Exactly.
And you don't always get that from media work. You know, I think people will imagine that if you work on the radio, you're a millionaire. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I don't think it quite works
no,
like that.
No, that doesn't work out like that. But it is that the wonderful thing of being able to find a way to do fulfill that passion itch while also making a paycheck and keeping the lights on.
And right. And so what I've found is that, you know, I meet someone here in Rapids in one connection, and then later on we'll meet in another. So, for example, I've got a good friend, Andrea. I met her when she was my banker. Then I met her again in karaoke, and now she's a mental health guru. And, you know, I have interactions with her about that. She's the executive director of NAMI. Mm-hmm. And she does a lot of advocacy.
She does
for
a lot of
health.
Great work over there.
Right. So it's really strange how these paths cross and mm-hmm. They cross again in some different connection.
You mentioned that, going off doing your own thing, and we're celebrating a year here of Rapids Homes.
Right.
But what made you want to do this? What is the mission of Rapids Homes?
My mission statement, and actually I have a framed copy of this behind my desk to remind me every time I go into my office, is excellence for everyone. And the thing about mission statements is they have to be short. You have to make sure that everyone in your organization knows it and can repeat it if they're asked. So sometimes you read mission statements that are four paragraphs long. You think, that's not a mission statement. That's something else.
My mission statement is...
excellence for everyone, just three words, because I believe that everyone deserves the very best service. And that will be if you are buying a mobile home for $23,000, which I had somebody do earlier this year and I helped them, and or if I have someone who is selling for $525,000, which I also had this year. And I believe that I extended the same service to both those clients without regard to the amount of money I was going to get out of it or whether it would be a good business prospect. Mm-hmm. Now, I do that for two reasons. Firstly, it is the right thing to do. And that's the most important, because I couldn't live with myself unless I did the right thing. Secondly, it's actually good business practice as well, because yes, I may only walk away with a few hundred dollars commission for helping the person buy their mobile home, but they remember how good I was. They write a kind review. Maybe in 5 years' time, they sell that mobile home and they buy a $200,000 regular house. Mm-hmm. So it should work both ways. It may be that I will never interact with them again, but still, I've done the right thing. I've got job satisfaction out of helping someone.
You mentioned clients and the types of different clients that you will, you know, you want to work with, you like working with. When it comes to that type of clients or what type of property you deal with, what is Rapids Homes, do you focus on? Is it just Rapids Homes?
Well, that's a good question. I think you might see the name and think, oh, well, that's just residential and it's just within Rapids. But I thought that was a good name. Actually, I'd had the domain name for a number of years, even when I was with Remax, because I was thinking what would be a good domain name to send people to, Rapids Homes. And when I was looking for a name for the brokerage, I thought of a few things like Farnborough Realty and, you know, Wisconsin Real Estate. All these things went through my head. I thought, oh, I've already got the name and I've already got the domain name. That's already been used.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Alyssa Kay. Governor Tony Evers declared 2025 the year of the kid in Wisconsin. He's currently touring schools throughout the state to welcome students, families, educators, and staff back to school. On Monday, the governor stopped in at Wausau East High School. WXCO reporter Isabella Nieto was on location.
During his visit, Evers met with students and staff during a few classes, including a ceramics class, an American literature class, and an animal science class.
You know, it's really interesting watching students, taking a physical on a goat to looking at all sorts of pictures from the past and identifying what those pictures meant. And so really smart kids.
The visit comes after Evers signed the 2025-27 biennial budget in July, which included a nearly $1.4 billion increase in spendable revenue for K-12 schools across the state, and an over $200 million increase from the 2023-25 K-12 budget. Evers announced at the end of July that he's not running for another term. He says the budget will set the next governor up for success in increasing public school funding.
You know, I think going forward, and I would say this to anybody that runs for office, for my office, and when they get to the point of the next budget, they have to care about our public schools, our University of Wisconsin system, and our early childhood programs. That's our future.
The budget also included increases in reimbursements for high-cost special education programs and continued funding for school-based mental health services.
I'm Melissa Kay, and you're listening to WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Neil Diamond fans might want to start making plans for the holidays. Song Sung Blue, named after the Neil Diamond hit, finally has a release date and will hit theaters nationwide on Christmas Day. The perfect day to give us a reprieve from Christmas tunes. The film is based on a true story of a Wisconsin-based couple who formed a Neil Diamond tribute band called Thunder and Lightning. Mike and Claire Sardina were down on their luck musicians living in Milwaukee. Once they started performing together and singing those feel-good Diamond tunes, they became a local phenomenon. The film is based on the 2008 documentary of the same name by Greg Coe. The film has serious star power. The cast is led by Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson, with an ensemble that includes the Sopranos' Michael Imperioli, Ella Anderson, and Jim Belushi. Song Sung Blue is directed by Craig Brewer. Go to YouTube and check out the trailer, waiting with bated breath to find out if Sweet Caroline will be in the film. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the...
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Just an outside chance of a stray shower today. Otherwise, partly sunny skies with highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-50s. On your Thursday, increasing sunshine with highs again in the mid-70s. It's 58 at our studios.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you
can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Heather Heil of the Green Bay Children's Museum takes the John Candy quiz. Then I'm joined by Ethan Ogilvie, writer of the new rom-com, The Threesome, which is just hitting theaters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Remember, you can sign up for our newsletters, the weekday version with its new newsletter editor, Ellie Bordeaux, who got started today, a Conemaugh native. And of course, the version that I write, more politics based on the weekends. Sign up for those at upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe at the banner at the top of our homepage. All right, let's turn our attention now to data centers. We're hearing all about artificial intelligence and the need for all of these data centers to hold that and all the other information that we're busy Googling and sending and sharing. And data centers are basically the cloud. The cloud is not something light and fluffy and doesn't take up a lot of space. The cloud is monstrous, and it has a monstrous appetite for things like water to keep things cool. Amy Berrio from Clean Wisconsin is joining us now to talk a bit more about that, not just from the standpoint of Wisconsin projects and proposals, but just the concept around the country where some communities are starting to learn the real cost of these data centers. Amy Berrio, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us in studio down there in Madison from Clean Wisconsin. You can find them at cleanwisconsin.org. With plenty of things that you can learn. For example, there's a column here called AI Data Centers and the Artificial Need for Dirty Energy. Amy, the upshot of all this is basically what? Just letting the public know what all is involved with every time one of these data centers is proposed for Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think things are happening really fast. You know, a couple years ago, we'd never even thought about AI data centers. And now suddenly in Wisconsin, we're juggling a number of AI data center projects. And the thing to understand is these data centers use a lot of energy. So, we're talking the one that was that is proposed in Port Washington could use as much energy once it's complete as 2 million homes. And I want to apologize. I said on Todd Allball's show, 4 million homes. And if Todd, you're listening, I apologize. I pulled over the wrong piece of information for that. But that number is 2 million homes. And that's
So it's only 2 million homes that this thing could power for this one proposed for Port Washington.
For this one project, yeah.
So the correction is noted, but it is still an incredible number, the amount of energy these types of facilities use.
Yeah, and I think people may not understand that. So you're talking about a data center that's on almost 2,000 acres that have been primarily farmland that is going to be converted into a space with a lot of windowless buildings. Those buildings will be full of computer servers because this AI, actions take a lot of work from computers, right? This is not a small number of tasks that are being done when you ask AI something. That's an enormous task. And so these data centers are being built because, I've heard it compared to an arms race, right? Between the major tech companies. They want to be the big players in the AI space. And so these data centers are coming in and they are a strain on resources. So, energy than we've ever produced before for one single user. This will be the biggest energy user in the history of the state once it's built. And not only do these data centers use energy, they also use water for cooling. And right now we don't have a lot of transparency around how much water exactly is going to be pulled from our lakes and our aquifers for these data centers. There's not a lot of transparency about how they're going to operate, what the noise levels are going to be, how many diesel generators are going to be on site that need to be fired up to be used as backup and tested once a month. So there's a lot of baggage, I guess, that comes along with these data centers that the public doesn't always know, really until they're already approved.
So this is, again, something that we talk about clean energy all the time, green energy, you know, a whole new economy, and it would be easy to lump data centers into that because, again, it doesn't look like a factory. There isn't a pipe that sludge comes out of, for example. But like you said, when it comes to the amount of water required, the amount of electricity required, is it your view that any community where this is proposed needs to treat this no differently than any other, you know, old school factory that's coming in and using your resources?
Well, I think we need to recognize what the differences are. Again, this is a scale of energy use that we have never seen. You know, having the biggest energy user in the state ever, an energy user that, you know, when I say 2 million homes, we don't have a city in Wisconsin that has 2 million homes. So this will be like a city in Wisconsin that doesn't have any people in it. But it's going to be using that much energy. And the energy utilities, We Energies in this case, you know, want those data centers to come here. They want the profits that go along with building new energy generation to meet those needs because they make a rate of return every time they build something profit. So we have to recognize that a lot of times we have energy companies like We Energies or like Alliant Energy in the case of a data center that is being proposed in Dane County that are actively luring these data centers here. And what we don't get is a lot of transparency, so we don't understand exactly how much energy is going to be used right away. We don't understand where the water is coming from, how much water is getting used. On the hottest days of the year, how much water is going to be needed to cool that data center when we all need those resources, when our farmers need them, our communities need them. How much of our resources are we going to be sharing with the data centers? And so it's a bit like any other industry that has come to Wisconsin in the past, but then again, it's very, very different because we just haven't encountered anything like this before. We don't know how many new gas plants, you know, We Energies is planning to build to meet the needs of this one data center. But we do know if it does meet those needs with gas plants, the communities where those plants are located will be harmed by air pollution. We know that we'll be pushed further from reaching any kind of climate goals in Wisconsin. So we need to take this seriously, and we need to start demanding real transparency, and we need to start demanding that these data centers come with a plan to meet their needs in a sustainable way. And right now, we're not seeing that.
We're talking to Amy Berrio from Clean Wisconsin about data centers and the amount of resources being needed. And I was looking at a New York Times article from over the summer when Meta, the parent company of Facebook, broke ground on a $750 million data center about 90 minutes east of Atlanta. The neighbors all around that area suddenly noticed there was no water coming out of their taps. And so there was all this potential for jobs, which are primarily in the construction field of building these things right in the first place. And then they're there. And now that water taps are running dry by the neighbors, it reminds me of an issue that we've talked about from a legislative standpoint across rural Wisconsin, so-called high-capacity wells, or for these mega farms, you know, they seek high-capacity wells to irrigate all these fields. But again, at what price to the neighbor's water supply and to our aquifers overall? And again, you know, it's one thing to have a mega farm, but a mega data center, it appears to be no different in terms of how much water is needed to keep these servers cool.
Well, I mean, we've seen historically, and by historically, I mean in the last several years, that these AI data centers are using a tremendous amount of water for cooling. The data centers that are being proposed in Wisconsin right now, you know, we're getting assurances that they're going to be using a new kind of cooling system that is a closed loop system. So they're going to withdraw some amount of water, but then recycle it to use it over and over again for cooling. But those data centers appear to be more energy intensive than the ones that don't use the closed loop system. And it's important for us to understand that power plants use a lot of water. So if we're going to shift the water use from on-site to power plants in the region, we're still, again, providing our water resources to this data center. And so when I talk about transparency, I mean on all levels, like how much water is this data center really using, not just on-site, but regionally in Wisconsin? Because One thing I think maybe we don't always think about is we're sitting in the middle of the largest freshwater system in the world, the Great Lakes region. And tech companies know that. We in Wisconsin, we are lucky to have, you know, fresh water, plentiful water, and also a lot of land that's currently being used for agriculture. So we are desirable, I would say.
Oh, gosh, without a doubt. It's something we've talked about for many years that folks in, say, the desert Southwest would love to extend a giant straw, you know, to the Midwest to water their lawns and for drinking.
Yeah.
But instead, we're now seeing the sucking up of our water for something that, again, would not necessarily come to us, that we would not get a direct benefit from. So, Amy, to start to tie a bow on this, the website is cleanwisconsin.org for folks that want to learn more. Do you have other resources or other actions that you hope that people will take when it comes to data centers being proposed?
Well, right now, you know, we're hopeful that soon there's going to be some legislation that's about this transparency that I'm talking about. Because right now there's really nothing. There's no legal avenue or policy avenue for a community to use when a big data center project comes to town if it gets approved by their local lawmakers. So, you know, what we're calling for is transparency. And so when, you know, we have something that's public that people can kind of throw their support behind, you know, we'll be sure to let you know. Right now, it's just about getting out information so people can at least be informed about what data centers are, what they can mean, and why this issue is important.
And I suppose not just for you know, any regular folks, but I would imagine if people are on county boards, town boards, city councils, rather than waiting for some proposal to be dropped in their laps, and now you face the pressure of making a decision, it would be a pretty good idea if elected officials, local elected officials around the state started to bone up on this right now before, you know, before the first requests come in.
Yeah, they need to start learning about what this means, because once a request comes in, you know, these things move very fast. And communities, you know, small communities that don't normally face this kind of pressure are facing a big time pressure, because we know how much money tech companies have and how powerful they are. And they're just getting more and more powerful. And that's a lot to stand up to. So, yeah, people in local communities should start understanding this issue.
Yeah. And before I let you go, obviously, this is one aspect, one issue that Clean Wisconsin is working on. But I know everything from, the Enbridge Line 5 up north and a host of other projects. The folks at Clean Wisconsin, they're not sitting around bored. There are plenty of projects that y'all are working on right now.
Yeah. You know, the environment, it's a lot. It's a lot to protect. So you mentioned Line 5. We're in the middle of a legal case against the DNR for permits that were issued to build 41 miles of new Line 5 section through some pristine areas of northern Wisconsin. So that's a big focus right now. But we work on everything from water and wetland protection to clean energy to sustainable farming. And if it has to do with the environment, we're on it.
Amy Vario from Clean Wisconsin, cleanwisconsin.org. Amy, thank you very much. I really appreciate having you on today.
Thank you.
All right. And like I said, Amy has been on with Todd Alba before and is on other shows to keep us updated on all kinds of matters that are happening in terms of protecting our natural resources. Economic development is extremely important in the state, no doubt about that. But it really is a matter of research and transparency and taking that balanced approach so that we're not, essentially eating our own seed corn when it comes to the notion of economic development. We're looking to talk to Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley up next, candidate for governor in 2026 here in the state of Wisconsin. Live from Lake Wasota, across the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlow. Back in a bit.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can support your natural defenses, increase wellness, and propel your health to the next level in 100 days. If everyday life is a struggle, you have concerns on viral activity, or need a general shift to greater wellness, visit Family Natural Foods today. All natural products can increase immunity, bolster your first lines of defense, and help you thrive in today's fast-paced world. Enzyme Defense for Immune Health and Mucus Stop for Allergies and Congestion are on sale. Stop in today. See what Family Natural Foods can do for you. West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've got afternoon baseball coming up here across Civic Media Radio Network. 1 o'clock, the pregame begins for the third and final game of the Brewers series in Arlington against the Texas Rangers. Again, 1 o'clock this afternoon, then they're off tomorrow for a home series this weekend against the St. Louis Cardinals. Again, tune in across the Civic Media Radio Network this afternoon for a little matinee baseball. Let's turn our attention now to the race for governor and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, who is touring the state now after getting into the race, as he promised he would, for the race to become the next governor of the state of Wisconsin in 2026. And David joins us live now. David, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Pat. Thank you for having me.
Very good. I understand you're on the road today, I think La Crosse, if I heard correctly.
Yes, I am in La Crosse today. I was in Madison yesterday. And so we already started to crisscross around the state to talk about our vision for Wisconsin.
Yeah. Again, for folks who haven't seen it, an excellent campaign launch video talking a bit about your background and why you're running for governor. So that's a 2-minute video rather than a 2-minute answer. Why don't you give me the short version of what you're telling folks about you and why you're deciding to run for governor?
Well, thank you for this opportunity. And one, I think it's important to acknowledge that Governor Evers, he's been able to be the steady, calm strength that we've needed for the past almost decade, right? He's led us through the pandemic. He's protect our democracies, protect working families from a lot of the harm that has been going on across our country. And so I spent 7 years in the state capitol, so I know exactly how Madison works. I've worked with this state legislature. And for the past 5 years, I have been leading the largest county in the entire state of Wisconsin. I represent 1 million people, about 1/6 of our entire state's population, and also manage a budget of about $1.4 billion. And since 2020, I not only led Milwaukee County through the pandemic, but we've tackled some of the toughest issues, things like public safety, public health, fiscal recovery. We've invested in small businesses. We've created more options of affordable housing. We've made government more accessible. We've cut our carbon emissions in half, all while being able to deliver the largest property tax cut in Milwaukee County's history. And so I know that on day one, that I'll be ready to hit the ground, because I'm the only candidate in this race with legislative experience and experience running a government.
We're talking to David Crowley, the Milwaukee County executive and candidate for governor. As you know, there are folks in the race that include the lieutenant governor. There's an industry executive. There's the county executive in Washington County. There are state legislators who think that they might be getting in as well. So you've outlined a lot of your strengths and your background. But of course, one of the shortcomings, if you will, is simply, you know, name recognition. The way Wisconsin is, it's tough for a rural person to get known in Milwaukee, or a Milwaukee person to get known in the rest of the state. Getting in the car is one of the most essential things. But tell folks what else you're doing and talking about when you go to rural Wisconsin. I wouldn't count Eau Claire as rural, but you were just in the Chippewa Valley 2 weeks ago, for example, to talk about affordable housing.
Oh, absolutely. And had a chance to join Representative Jody Emerson. And, you know, being able to see some of the great things that they're doing in Eau Claire was just extremely wonderful. But it let me know that the issues that are facing Eau Claire, that are facing La Crosse, that are facing many of our communities, you know, are the same issues that we're facing in Milwaukee County. You know, the issues that we're be focusing on, we've been able to balance our budget. We've been able to expand our opioid treatment and prevention options. And I want folks to know that these aren't Milwaukee issues. These aren't Democratic issues or Republican issues. These are Wisconsin issues. And so we're going to cut through the mustard. We want folks to know that we're not going to pay attention, you know, to the division and to the distractions that people are going to throw in this race. We're going to speak directly to the issues facing every community. And I want them to know that I'm going to show up for them. And I've already been doing that. You know, I led the charge across the state to build a coalition to make sure that every community of every size got their share back from Madison, so they can invest in things that matter most to them. Things like police and fire, being able to invest in transportation and housing. And I want folks to know I'm going to continue to fight for them as the next governor of Wisconsin. We need a governor who understands the issues at heart, but also a governor who listens.
There are so many issues that we can talk about. And of course, our time is limited. So while affordable housing may not be at the top of a lot of lists, it's one that you have experience with in Milwaukee County. You saw what was going on in the Chippewa Valley. We just spoke in our last hour about actually fencing off city parks in La Crosse because of the issue of unsheltered folks. This is a challenge everywhere. What's been your own experience with the issue and how you might be a part of the solution?
Well, one, you know, in order to fix these issues, it's important that those who have been negatively impacted by the problems in our community, that they're leading and bringing their voice to the table to be a part of the solution. There isn't a one size fits all to the issues facing every community across this state. And when it comes down to struggling, I know what that's like. I was evicted 3 times by the time I graduated high school. I seen my mother struggle to, you know, pay for the bills, put food on the table. And here in Milwaukee County, you know, we have done great work with our Housing First model. We have been recognized 3 out of the past 5 years by the United States HUD that we've had the lowest unsheltered homeless count per capita than any other community our size across this entire country. And that's because we're putting our money where our mouth is, making sure that we're making investments up front to make sure that we save a lot more money down the line. And these are issues that's going to help every community across the state, whether we're talking about affordability, but we also need to talk about attainable housing while we talk about affordable housing. And attainable housing is housing that is available for everyone of all income levels. We know that the housing stock isn't quite there for many communities. And as Milwaukee County, we're pretty much fully built out, being one of the fully incorporated communities in the entire country. But that doesn't mean that we can't work and create creative solutions for every community across this state.
We are talking to David Crowley. He's the county executive and a candidate for governor. And if you want to hear more from him. He's going to be joining Todd Alba at 3:35 this afternoon as well. He's got a busy day ahead of him. David, thank you so much for your time. Yes. We appreciate it greatly. Safe travels.
Thank you.
You bet. That's David Crawley again, Milwaukee County executive, joining us from La Crosse, where, again, crossing the state, getting his campaign kicked off. We'll talk more about it tomorrow here as well on these mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you back here bright and early Thursday morning, 6 a.m. here up north.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Russia's defense ministry is now denying it targeted Poland in overnight drone strikes thwarted by NATO allies. Secretary General Mark Rutte.
What we have seen last night was a very successful reaction by NATO and allies, including, of course, Poland itself, but also the Dutch and the Italians and the Germans, everybody involved. And I'm really impressed.
President Trump says he's not happy with yesterday's Israeli strike targeting Hamas political headquarters in Qatar. And he says he wasn't given enough notice to stop it. CBS's MTS Tayyab.
Given the White House was alerted in advance of the Doha attack by Israel, Qatari leaders here are asking why they weren't informed ahead of time.
President Trump's just called for the death penalty for a North Carolina man accused of stabbing a 23-year-old Ukrainian immigrant to death on a commuter train in Charlotte. U.S. Attorney Russ Ferguson.
Much more recently, the surveillance video was obtained from the train. And that's really what gave us the basis for federal charges here.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah.